FCC to act on web rules.
To treat internet service like a public utility.
Unmasking the ISIS executioner.
I'm Beck Obama.
Buried in 2 feet of snow.
I just told myself, you know what? No, you're not going to go out this way.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Some say it's long overdue. Others call it overreach by the government. CBS's Allison Keyes says the FCC is poised today to approve new rules for the Internet.
The net neutrality rules would give the FCC unprecedented authority over the Internet and keep companies from paying for so-called faster lanes on the web. CNET's Maggie Reardon has been covering the debate.
This is really just a protection.
But Brent Scorup at George Mason University says
there have been priority protocols built into the Internet since the 80s.
He says consumers are already protected. Analysts expect a prolonged court battle over the new rules from cable and Internet companies who oppose the change.
So how does net neutrality affect you? I'm Heather Bosch. Let's say you want to watch something from Netflix like House of Cards.
Power is a lot like real estate. It's all about location, location, location.
How fast you can download that program depends on your internet service provider. Under net neutrality, your ISP couldn't force Netflix and ultimately you to pay more to get that show faster. This is even more important for newer, smaller companies trying to compete with Netflix, because even if the big companies can pay to serve you faster, the startups probably couldn't.
There was no internet in northern Arizona for several hours yesterday. Police say a fiber optic line was vandalized and people had to put up with a lot of inconveniences.
They said no one's phones work, their internet's down, none of our computers work, ATMs are down.
Service was restored late last night. Authorities are investigating. There's now a name to go with the face of the man in the mask in the ISIS beheading videos. CBS's Larry Miller is in London.
Jihadi John, always masked and dressed in black, was first seen in the video in which American journalist James Foley was executed, taunting the West in a British accent.
You're no longer fighting an insurgency. We are an Islamic army.
Jihadi John is identified as 27-year-old Mohammed Emwazi from West London, reportedly a college graduate from a well-off family. Known to British security, he was put on a terror watch list and ordered not to leave the UK. Yet Emwazi went to Syria in 2012, later joining the Islamic State. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
A hookup with ISIS in Syria was allegedly the plan for two men in custody here at home. They were arrested in New York and a third man taken into custody in Florida. New York City Police Commissioner William Bratton.
This is real. This is the concern about the lone wolf inspired to act without ever going to the Middle East, or the concern of once they get to the Middle East, acquire fighting skills, capabilities, and then attempting to return to the country.
And two of the men were active online. One allegedly spoke of shooting President Obama. All three are native to former Soviet republics. Hundreds of thousands spent a night in the dark last night in the Carolinas after the latest winter blast. Snow, sleet, and freezing rain brought down tree limbs and power lines, making travel treacherous. CBS's Vanita Nair is in Durham, North Carolina.
The storm is making it hard for just about anything to stay on these southern roads, sidelining trucks, spinning tires, and overturning cars. Plows in North Carolina are pushing their way through the mess, clearing aside the cold slush.
Parts of northern Alabama got more than 10 inches of heavy, wet snow. Airlines have canceled nearly 1,000 flights today, mostly at airports in the southeast. Drew Mullins was trying to protect his snowbound home in Peterborough, New Hampshire the other day, using a snow rake to clear his roof. All of it came down at once, burying him.
I felt that I was calm enough that I could survive. It was just a matter of how long it would take for somebody to find me.
Trapped under 2 feet of snow, his heavy breathing helped clear an air hole. Mullins was freed 3.5 hours later. His wife got home then and called for help. He was treated for exposure. A bill to fund the Homeland Security Department is making its way through the Senate against a midnight Friday deadline when the money runs out. It's not clear House Republicans will get on board. They passed a measure that calls for concessions from President Obama on his immigration actions. The president told MSNBC he'll prevail in his legal fight on immigration. His message to illegal immigrants he wants to protect from deportation was, get ready.
You should be making sure that you've got the documents so that when we have cleared out all the legal problems and the application process is ready to go, that you're ready to go.
A new law has taken effect in our nation's capital. Possession of small amounts of marijuana is now legal.
Voters approved marijuana legalization back in the fall, but the question remained, would Congress step in?
D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine believes the law is on solid ground.
The mayor and certainly the police chief have acted fully and faithfully.
But two House Republicans wrote a letter to Mayor Muriel Bowser saying legalizing pot defied Congress. One even hinted at jail time.
Well, I have a lot of things to do here in the District of Columbia. Me being in jail wouldn't be a good thing.
Andrew Mollenbeck for CBS News, Washington.
The U.S. Supreme Court has spoken on teeth whitening, ruling yesterday against a North Carolina dental board that tried to stop non-dentists from offering lower-cost teeth whitening services. The financial firm Morgan Stanley's agreed to pay the government $2.6 billion to settle the case over its role in the mortgage meltdown and financial crisis that followed.
They encouraged brokers and other lenders around the country to just give them loans and to produce them as fast as they could without paying much attention to quality.
The industry analyst Guy Sakala, similar deals have been struck with Citigroup, Bank of America, and J.P. Morgan Chase. Big League Baseball star Josh Hamilton suspended from the game from 2004 to 2006 because of cocaine and alcohol abuse has admitted to a relapse.
It's the life of an addict. You're never completely out of the woods.
Baseball writer John Heyman of CBSSports.com says Hamilton met with league officials yesterday.
Now MLB will deal with him and try to get him some help.
Hamilton's expected to return to rehab. Well, Madonna was a featured performer at Britain's Top Music Awards. Crowd gasped as the 56-year-old material girl took a hard fall when a big cape she was wearing got snagged on stairs. She got up and finished the song. In a web post later, Madonna said she's okay. For six decades, extramarital affairs in South Korea have been against the law. Now, reporter Jason Strother in Seoul says a court ruling changes that.
South Korea's top court has decriminalized adultery. The majority of a constitutional judges panel said the law violates personal freedom and privacy. Since the early 1950s, a cheating spouse and his or her lover could be sentenced up to 2 years in jail for infidelity. Thousands of men and women have been indicted in recent years for breaking the law, but only a handful received legal punishment.
After the news, the stock of a top South Korean condom maker went up by 15%. There's a follow-up to yesterday's story of the two Tennessee girls high school basketball teams who played each other and tried to lose for a better playoff position. Both head coaches have now been suspended for next school year, and one has been told he won't be allowed back when the suspension is over. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.